really liked school growing up. I struggled, didn't like elementary, hated junior high, had a hard time in high school. But I particularly struggled academically, math in particular. I guess my brain just doesn't work that way. And I'll never forget my seventh grade year of junior high school. I was attending North Park Junior High in Lockport, New York. It was June. It was towards the end of summer. It was final exam time. And I could not wait for summer to begin. I could be free, spend time with my friends, no more school. I just had to get through the mathematics final exam. I sat down, I took the exam, and a few days later, I discovered that I scored a 39%. Yes, that's out of 100. I failed, and so I had to go to summer school in order to go into eighth grade. But in that moment, I started to believe a lie. The lie went something like this. You know, Mike, you're really not that intelligent. You're not smart. Matter of fact, you might even be stupid. It was a lie that followed me through eighth grade, ninth grade. It followed me into high school. It shaped who I was. I eventually graduated, went off to college. The college that accepted me conditionally. I had to pass a course called study skills in order to continue, which I did. Took study skills every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 a.m. And I started to learn something. Maybe the challenge wasn't intelligence. Maybe it was effort. And so I started to try harder. Studied subjects that I enjoyed. I found I loved languages. I loved public speaking. I loved reading. So I enrolled in a public speaking course and I got a B, which was a big deal for me. Then I took British literature and I got an A. I was blown away. I got an A. That was something that never happened to me before. Then I enrolled in a course called homiletics, which is the art and craft of preaching and teaching. And I got another A and I was blown away. I was trying harder and I was doing better. I went on then to graduate school and I graduated with my master's with a GPA high enough to qualify for a doctoral program. But sometimes I still hear this voice. I hear this voice from the past that says, you know, Michael, you're really not that smart. You're not that intelligent. It's all a facade. You just kind of skirted your way through. We all hear voices, every single one of us. We have this internal dialogue that's constantly running. Those voices that we hear and those voices that we listen to shape who we become. Now, we are in a season right now, obviously, in which we are disconnected. Some of us are even in complete isolation. And as a result, some of those voices are getting really, really loud. The more isolated we are with our thoughts, the more pronounced they become. I want to spend a couple of minutes today talking about the voice of the past. It's a voice that's mentioned in the New Testament. If you've got a Bible, I do encourage you to turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And though I'm not going to read this whole chapter, we're going to interact with it. So I do hope you'll open up your Bible, join with me in Philippians chapter 3. But the writer of Philippians chapter 3 says this, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Listen, the voice of my past has shaped who I am, but it does not define who I'm becoming. The voice of the past is something every one of us here, it is something every one of us wrestle with. And so we're gonna interact today, because right now I'm quite literally looking at 800 empty chairs. And though it seems like one way, we're gonna make it two way, okay? Right where you are, whether you're by yourself or with your family or your friends, whoever you're with, we're gonna say this out loud together. You ready? The past has shaped who I've become. Together, ready? The past has shaped who I've become, but it does not define who I'm becoming. The Apostle Paul, who is the writer of the book of Philippians, was a man who was incredibly successful. He had credentials and experiences, but he was also a man who wrestled with the voice of the past. And he writes about those experiences in Philippians chapter 3. Now, I want to remind you, if you're not familiar with the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul to a church in a city called Philippi. When the Apostle Paul wrote these words, he was in a Roman prison called the Tullianum. The Tullianum was a dirty, nasty, awful place. It was often reserved for the worst of the worst criminals. And here the Apostle Paul sits. His only offense is that he shared the gospel of Christ. The Tullianum is referenced in history as the gateway to hell. And so the Apostle Paul sits in that prison and he writes, I'm leaving my past behind. Now, when we think about our past, it does evoke emotion. Some of us do all that we can to forget the past. There's too much regret and too much pain. For others of us, the past was incredible. It was awesome. And we do all that we can to keep it alive. We're going to hear the voice of the past, whether it's good or bad. What do we do with it? Well, I argue we begin by learning from it. The past is an incredible teacher. You ever have a really good teacher in school? My favorite teacher was my high school psychology teacher. Her name was Mrs. Smith, and I'll never forget her because she not only taught me the discipline of psychology, but she also taught me how to be a better person, how to be a better human being. When I was struggling with issues of life in high school, Mrs. Smith was the person that I would go to. Mrs. Smith imparted in me something that the scriptures refer to as wisdom. See, the scriptures use the word wisdom to describe our knowledge and our experiences. The writer of the book of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 13 says this, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Wisdom is simply the combination of knowledge, of acquired knowledge and experiences. When we combine what we've learned and what we've experienced, that is wisdom. I think some of us get stuck. I think the reason some of us keep doing the same things over and over and over is because we never learn, we never reflect upon, and never apply our experiences and our knowledge. Some of us look at our past and we've told ourselves a lie. We've told ourselves this is the way it is. This is how it's always been. And this is how it's always going to be. Now listen, while I believe that the past is an incredible teacher, the past is a terrible prophet. We learn from our past, but we do not allow our past to predict our future. See, I could have believed that because I got a 39 on a seventh grade mathematics exam, that I was unintelligent, allowing that to predict my entire academic future. We can believe that things are never going to be different, but when we begin to believe that, we start to hold ourselves back. I almost allowed my past to derail what God had for me, my family, and my future. I had a really bad experience working for a period of about 5 years at a church. Now, granted, part of the reason it was a bad experience was because of some of the choices that I personally made. I'm not one of those guys that blames all my bad experiences on somebody else. I take responsibility for those things that I've contributed. But those 5 years were so frustrating, so rough and painful that I considered leaving the ministry altogether and pursuing a very different career path. Now, as I was wrestling with this decision, it was that time that Northbrook Church called me and asked me to consider moving here to Wisconsin. And when I received that invitation, I thought, why would I want to do that? All that's going to happen is I'm going to change the scenery, but the frustration is going to be the same. I've had these bad experiences over the last 5 years. Why would I want to go and do that all over again? So I thought about it. I considered it. I wrestled with it. And I believe through divine direction, through spirit-led guidance, I ended up here. I accepted the invitation to move my family to Wisconsin. But right before we were to hit the road and move all of our life up north, I received an email from a person that was a part of Northbrook Church. I don't remember their name. I don't even know if they're still a part of our faith community. But the email said something like this, and I'm kind of summarizing. It said, Pastor Mike, I've done a little bit of research on you, and I've decided that I don't like you. And so you just need to do yourself a favor and do us all a favor and not come here. And that voice from the past began to scream loud. Maybe this has all been a mistake. Shouldn't I learn from the last 5 years and do something else? And it caused me to pause, and that voice of the past had me by the throat, and I almost made a humongous mistake. However, I took a risk and we moved, and it has been one of the greatest experiences of my life. They could have been hijacked had I listened to the voice of the past. So I've taken all my experiences, the good and the bad, and I've learned, and they've made me a better human being, a better father, a better husband, a better pastor. See, we get stuck when we allow the past to predict our future. Yes, we learn from it, but then we choose to let go. Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." The Apostle Paul writes, "I let go of what was, so I can fully experience what is." The Apostle Paul knew he had to let go of some things from his past to become all that God designed him to be. Because I'm confident there were things that the Apostle Paul had in his past that he was ashamed of. There are things in his past that he regretted. I know this because before he became the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus, while he was religious, he was a Pharisee, he was also a murderer. We know from the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul went into Christian meetings and he abused them, he drugged them out, he tortured them, and yes, he even murdered them. Using today's language, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, was actually a terrorist. He used violence to change people's opinion. He used violence to silence people. He even used murder. Now, I suppose after he had an experience with Jesus that he wished he could have gone back and changed all those things. There are so many moments in my life that I wish I could get into a time machine and go back and change them. I wish time travel were real because there are so many things I would do differently. Now, I mean, maybe time travel is real. Maybe there are time travelers around right now. We don't even know it. Okay, that's funny. And I know I can't see you. I hope you're laughing. And if you're not laughing, I'm just going to give you some help. Okay, okay. The Apostle Paul writes, I consider all of that loss. I consider my failures and even my credentials a loss. Matter of fact, he says, I count it as garbage. Now, in the New Testament, which is written in the Greek language, the word that we translate garbage is the Greek word skubula. Well, I suppose we could make the case skubula could be translated as garbage. It actually has a stronger connotation because more often than not, the word skubula is used to describe human excrement, like what you would find in your baby's diaper. The word skubula is a really strong, borderline vulgar word. So the Apostle Paul, like the word skubula is a little more than the word crap, but a little less than the other word that I'm not going to say because we're in church. It's a very strong word. The Apostle Paul is saying, compared to Christ and the new life that I have in him, everything else, well, it's skubula. It's dung. It's waste. Maybe you spend a lot of time thinking about the past. I know I do. Maybe some of you spend time reminiscing on how good things used to be, and you're longing for the good old days. Or maybe you live in agony over what happened. Maybe you live in agony because of the voices from your past, the voices that said you weren't good enough, you're never going to amount to anything, you're trash, you're garbage. Or maybe you agonize over what you lost or what they did or what you didn't do. And the voice of the past is really, really loud. The psychologist Carl Jung once wrote, I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become. Now, maybe you're saying, Mike, that's fine, that's great, that's easy to say, but I just can't seem to let go. Maybe the theme song for your life is Stuck in a Moment by U2. You're stuck in a moment that you can't get out of. And yet we all know that holding on to things tightly, it doesn't fix anything. See, we can't let go of things when we're constantly leaning back. See, I can choose to let go when I choose to lean forward. The Apostle Paul continues writing in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I forget what is behind, I strain towards what is ahead, I press on, I lean forward. Every sport that I ever played or participated in required me to lean forward to be successful. When I was in elementary school and in junior high school, I played baseball. I was a pitcher and I played shortstop. And my coach always taught us the ready position to bend our knees, have our glove ready in case the ball came our way. Because if he ever caught me standing like this, my coach would yell, Belonte, get in the ready position. In junior high, I loved to skateboard. Loved it. We had a half pipe in our backyard, launch ramps. To skate, well, you gotta lean a little forward. In high school, I wrestled. If you ever wrestled, you know the ready position is hands out, get down low, lean forward, tight. I like to ski and snowboard. As you know, in skiing, snowboard, you gotta lean forward. When I came to Wisconsin, I discovered a sport that I never knew existed, but I loved. I think it's called Sporting Clays, and I get my 12-gauge shotgun out, and I lean forward as the clay pigeons fly through the air. Now, there is one thing I tried that did require you to lean back, and that is water skiing, and I could never get it because I just couldn't get the whole concept of leaning back, and I've got video proof of this just so you know I actually tried. I couldn't do it because the concept of leaning back didn't make sense to me. So you could spend your whole life leaning backwards in fear or regret or disappointment or wishing what was. But the truth is we need to lean forward and live. I love what the psalmist writes in Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. Today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, be glad in it. So how do I lean forward? What does that look like? What does that even mean? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us some really simple instruction. He starts by saying, forget what lies behind. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, forget what lies behind. Now, he's not talking about amnesia. He's not suggesting that you can just absolutely and fully forget the past and put it out of your mind. What he's suggesting is that we can turn from our past and turn towards something better. I know people that have an awful past. I know people that have been abused physically and emotionally. And instead of leaning back, they lean forward and they use their pain to come alongside and help other abuse victims. I know people who have lost loved ones, sometimes in traumatic ways. And instead of leaning back, they've chosen to lean forward, and they use their loss and their pain to help others. We have a group at Northbrook called Grief Share, in which our leaders do just that. I've talked many times of my own struggle with anxiety, and I've chosen not to lean back in fear, but I lean forward, and I use my struggle to help others. Or maybe it's hard for you to lean forward because the past was awesome, and you love it, but the present doesn't fully satisfy, and the voice of the past screams loud and says, remember how good it used to be? Remember the good old days? Remember when you were in high school or college and you dated that girl, you dated that guy, and they were so much better than your current marital situation. If you could only go back to her, instead of dealing with your current troubles. Or maybe you were the star. Maybe you were state champs. Maybe you were the star athlete. Maybe back in 1982, you could throw a pig skid a quarter mile. That's for all my Napoleon Dynamite fans. And now you look in the mirror and you see an extra 40, 50, 60 pounds, balding hair. When I was in high school, and I was an athlete, I weighed 138 pounds. It was solid muscle. I grew out my long, thick hair into a mullet because it was a chick magnet. And now, when I look in the mirror, what I see is, well, not 138 pounds. There's muscle there, but it's fairly well insulated. My hair is thinning and graying. And I could look at that and say, man, I wish it was different. But the Apostle Paul writes, no. What you do is you strain towards what's ahead. Straining implies effort. Yeah, maybe my relationship right now with my husband or my wife isn't perfect, but I choose to strain forward because it's worth it. No, maybe my body isn't the body of an 18-year-old, but I choose to strain forward and do something about it, to go to the gym, to run, to eat healthy. Or maybe you don't understand why it happened, whatever it was, but you're going to find a way to use it to help others and to glorify God. Maybe you can't take back what you said or what you did, but you can try and make it right, or at least learn from it. See, what the Apostle Paul is suggesting when he says forgetting what is behind and straying towards what is ahead, it means turning from those voices of the past and turning towards something better, turning towards Christ. Because the entire chapter of Philippians chapter 3 is pointing people to Christ, our hope, our confidence, our identity. It's now all in Christ. See, I will not allow my past to predict my future, because my future is now in Christ. The voice of the past can very easily drain out the voice of the resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. I want to know Christ, the Apostle Paul writes. Yes, and to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. On Easter weekend, we talked about the voice of the resurrection. And the voice of the resurrection says, it is finished, and I am making all things new. The pains of the past can be a catalyst for transformation or a weight that holds you back from becoming the best version of yourself. The joys of the past, the reminiscing of the past, can be a catalyst for new life in Christ, or it can be something that holds you back from better days, which potentially lie ahead. So what is the voice that you're listening to? Is the voice of the past holding you back? Is the voice of the past telling you the best days are behind you? Is the voice of the past telling you you're never going to recover from what was? Or do we hear the voice of the resurrection, which says, I'm making all things new? So yes, learn from your past. Let it go. And lean forward. And so, gracious God, we together, as we're spread out across towns and villages and cities and in some cases state lines, together we lean forward. We lean forward into all that you have for us. May we learn from our past, the good, the bad, the frustrating. Help us to let go of those things that hold us back. And today we choose to lean forward. We lean into you. We pray these things in the great name of Christ. Amen. So friends, we're going to now continue in our worship through our giving. I do want to thank you for your incredible generosity to our church. Because of your generosity, listen, we're doing really, really well as a congregation. And so I thank you for that. Thank you for your continued faithfulness to the church that I know that you love, the church that we all love. And so now, as part of our worship, we are going to give. You can give one of three ways. You can head over to our website, northbrookchurch.org, click on the giving tab, and follow the prompts and give there. You can also give via text by texting NBC and an amount to 73256. And as always, you can write a check, put a stamp on an envelope, and send it through the mail. We do check our mail daily, so thanks again for your faithfulness. Let's now worship together through our giving. So I pray God's greatest and most rich blessings on you this week. And in Christ, our greatest days are ahead. Amen.